anybody got?
I call this special meeting of the Board of Trustees to order. Date is August 6, 2013, and the time is 6:05. Tony, can you please call roll?
Mr. Cornell?
Mr. Cornell, I did call. He's going to be running late.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mr. Medina?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Searles?
Here.
I'll take us to the next item.
Item 2A, External Audit Plan Update. Mrs. Aguirre?
Good evening, Board President, Board Members, Dr. Galaviz. This evening, we will be providing with an external audit update by our external auditors from the Guadi Samaniego and Campbell firm. And I've got Ms. Samaniego, Mr. Garcia, and Mr. Balbuena here to present.
Good evening, Board President Rodriguez, Board Members, and Dr. Galvez. We're here to give you an update on the external audit as your year has been closed out and we plan for the end of year work. I put a letter in front of you all. This is our deadlines where we have met with management to determine where we're going from here to meet the deadlines that you all required. We are meeting with your prior auditor tomorrow morning to obtain your prior work papers, and meeting with the internal auditors tomorrow afternoon to discuss risk assessment items that have been done throughout this fiscal year 13. As we begin next week, we have slated with a series of interviews scheduled for at least the first 2 days, probably most of the week. Some of you all are asked to be in those interviews as well. If your name was selected, you're being contacted by Canada's staff that's helping us set up those interviews. That'll be next week, as well as some compliance work on your federal and state programs. The trial balance and financials, you all as management believe that you can have those to us on September 9th, which is good timing to get started on the year end field work, which would be, we have tentatively scheduled for 3 weeks. We believe that's probably a little bit longer than we actually need, but just to ensure that we all have enough time, there's 3 weeks slated for the year end field work beginning September 16th. A draft to Canateo on October 21st with a submission to TDA by November 15th. We've also met with management to decide that we'll give weekly updates. I understand those weekly updates will be sent to you all in your packet that you may receive on Thursdays. So we will send those to you all by Wednesday evening to let you know on the progress of the audit, any difficulties encountered, if any, and what progress we're making each week as we get through the external audit.
When is the exact deadline that it can't go past when it has to be submitted to TA?
The last day of November for the June 30th fiscal year ending.
So the November 3rd, whatever.
November 30th or the last day of the...
Okay, so we'll be in time.
Yes.
Any questions? I do have one quick question. I know in the past, the way the structure has been done, we would just get the report till the end. And so the reason why we had this meeting was to talk about the audit plan, and then since you all report directly to the board, give us that update, and then if there's any questions, so maybe within a month or in between these, we would probably have another update just to see if there's any questions or anything, but working closely with our financial, our CFO and our internal auditor, so that way we can see if there's any risk assessments or stuff that we need to look at, and then on those findings as well.
Absolutely, and on the weekly updates that you all will also receive, it will let you know if there are any findings. We will discuss those internally with management, but that would also be on your list so that you would be aware of those as soon as they come up as well.
and we'd be happy to be here to be in person to give any or all of those updates as you wish.
Looking at the risk assessment, has that already been done or is that still in the process?
The risk assessment on our end will be in process until we actually get here. We have a lot of interviews still for next week and then with tomorrow afternoon. So a lot of things still will be affecting our risk assessment as we learn more throughout the week next week. So by the time we get here for final field work, which will be September 16th, that risk assessment should be completed so that all of our programs are generated for us.
Board President, I have talked to Ms. Zami today, and what we're going to do is include it in your Thursday packet. So she's going to give us an update on Wednesday. We'll have the Thursday briefing with you.
Okay. There's no other questions. Thank you. Does administration have any questions? Hearing none, thank you, and we'll look forward to hearing from you soon as well.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we can do that. That's okay with the board. Can we move item 3D up? Any of you could please put that on.
Item 3D, discussion and possible action regarding correspondence related to high voltage power lines within the district.
Mr. President, board members, Dr. De La Vise. The board previously passed a resolution related to high voltage overhead power lines. In passing that resolution, a request was made that correspondence be drafted to the Congressman's office, to Congressman Beto O'Rourke, for consideration in connection with that resolution. We have prepared a draft of that correspondence for the President's signature. I respectfully request that you consider the contents of the correspondence and either make suggestions or recommendations in terms of modifying the letter or that the board consider approving it for execution by the board president.
Is there any questions? Have you all looked through the letter?
Just
read. And if I could take a couple of minutes, review it.
The primary focus of the correspondence is not just to express the board's concern related to the location of the overhead power line, the high voltage lines. It's primarily the process.
Okay.
There's a concern that there was a lack of input. We can gladly modify the letter to indicate that there are members of the community that haven't been there that long that are possibly being adversely affected by the placement. Members of the community that had no input or weren't aware of any process that they could participate in, possibly where they could object to the placement of these lines, or where they could possibly even argue for the placement of underground lines. But we can make any modification that the board
sends. Do you think this is strong enough language and that it's obvious that
We feel the language is...
I'm reading it a second time, and I can agree that this will be...
I would like to add that it does not make any mention to the City Planning Commission's own recommendation to put the power lines underground, which the City Hall, Pasco City Council, completely ignored. Possibly place a copy of the City Planning Commission's recommendation along with this.
I agree.
I don't think it tells the full story of saying we're against it when it's also the city's own committees were against it and look for alternatives. I think it's more about new families, new developments, new families with new kids. That's what we're here to serve.
Recommend that being carried forward.
I think of the first paragraph there.
I would agree with that.
We can certainly do that and have a draft ready for your consideration at the next board.
I think that I would feel comfortable if that's the only change, that we give Mr. Rodriguez the authority to just go ahead and sign it, okay it, and send it off as quickly as possible, because time is definitely
of the essence.
Yeah.
Can we get a motion to approve the letter?
I move to approve the letter that has been presented to us with the amendments that Mr. Medina has added.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the letter to our congressman as amended by Mr. Medina. If there's no other discussion or questions,
and also that you could just sign it.
Yeah. Send it. Okay. I do have just a comment here. It seems as if this whole process has been swept under the rug. And I know that we've been on it since November last year. It took a while to kind of get our bearings as to what was going on at the time. But I would hope that if all this action doesn't result, that we maybe look at other possible avenues. It just seems as if all our requests, all our resolutions seem to fall on deaf ears. That's the only comment.
The good thing.
Yeah. Go ahead. Are we going to include any other entities in this matter, or are we just going to be able to congressmen or...
That is the state.
I'd like to send it to Joe Moody.
Mayor.
Yeah.
Mayor.
Mayor.
And Morgan Lilly.
Yeah.
So the people that represent the city.
And the county commissioner.
All of them. Okay.
County judge.
Judge. Good idea.
And the good thing is, you know, the position that we have approved with governmental affairs, mm-hmm. one of the key things that I see this individual is, you know, once we do pass a resolution, that they would have the time to meet with these representatives and say, okay, by the response, where it's not just a matter of, it's,
more involved.
You know, if they don't provide a response to me, then that's when we could really try to address the issue in a different way.
I mean, I don't know if anybody else has seen it, but I mean, these lines are ridiculously ugly. The one across our craft, it's a quarter of a mile away, and it looks like a Sarco. It's like a huge smokestack. 95 feet tall. It's going to devalue the 1,000 plus homes on either side of our craft, which will impact our children's education. Ultimately, it will hurt El Paso City. In reduced property values. In excess of $150 million in property values will be devalued up to 30% at the very minimum. So I see no reason why this was even approved at this manner. So glad we're going in this direction.
Mr. Medina, with that said, do you think it would be, I mean, because you were totally correct, our property values are what fuel our district, what fuels our budget.
Correct.
Our property values then are going to be decreased. It's obvious, there's no doubt. should we take the step that we've got legal counsel here, that we ask for them to move forward with a possible injunction to stop this until we get replies from Congressman O'Rourke or the electric company? I asked personally if they would sit down at the table with us and talk to the hand, sort of reply. I think that, do I need to make a formal motion?
No, what options are there in that discussion with water?
If we're going to have this discussion, since it involves a potential for litigation where the district will be a party, it's better discussed in executive session. We have a potential for litigation.
Do you want to go into executive session?
It is something that can be addressed with the other items that you have in executive session. You can take them all above.
Okay.
This is for litigation.
So then, do we not act on this, or do we have some discussion after?
I'd say we wait to see what our options are.
Because what's the action item that says?
It's just a resolution.
So it's just only regarding the correspondence.
The only thing that you have on the agenda now is related to the authorization to send the correspondence. You're going to have additional discussions related to the potential for litigation. This item doesn't empower you to take action. You may be able to discuss potential litigation in the executive session, but I don't believe you can take any action.
So we could act on this now and then discuss that.
Right. Another alternative is if you can act on the authorization to send the correspondence. There's a motion on the table, and I believe it's second.
Correct.
And you can instruct counsel to look into the different options that are available from a legal standpoint to address these tribal majority of power, and then we can have something for you.
Can we do that? Or can you amend the motion to include that?
And then my second.
Okay. I would like to then. So you don't think correspondence could just be the letter from you saying, stop? I'm teasing. I'd like to amend my motion to send the correspondence as discussed with the amendment made by Mr. Medina, and to let Mr. Rodriguez sign it when it's finished and send it off to all of the political people who need to get a copy of this letter, as well as to instruct counsel to look into options to address the issue of the high voltage lines.
Amend my second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second on the floor. If there's no other discussion.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
Motion passes. So, just real quick, Mr. Rodriguez, do you have this on a Word document, or does Tony have it? So, we can make those corrections.
I have it on there. Did you want to make the changes and send it to me, or?
We can have it for you in the morning.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Is that right? Yeah, that's. I'll take us to the next
item. Item 3A, discussion and possible action regarding Reyes Pre-K 8 School additional architectural services. Mr. Padilla, Mr. Gannon.
Ladies and gentlemen of the board, President Rodriguez and Superintendent Dr. Galaviz, hello. Got Hugo Sandania here for the change order request, which is for $10,000 for some services that they completed on regrading of the retaining walls, football field, and seating area that was approved during a special meeting on February 25th of 2013, item number 2B. In pulling up that those records of that meeting that I had pulled up, I do discover that no action was taken under that item for that meeting. However, I have spoken with Mr. Goitia, who has explained that although that item says no action taken, it was approved that that it was approved by the board in order for these changes to be made. So now is a change order from the architect CDA for $10,000 for the changes that have been included for this project.
Is there any questions from the board?
I do have a question. Well, remind me what happened back then. I think we wanted to regrade the entire area so we didn't have this giant pitch. Is this what it is?
Correct.
Okay, so it's just the services for architectural to redesign and also not have a 6-foot wall in there.
We made a couple of different options for you guys, and we gave you the different concepts.
You gave us sort of the profiles and the elevations.
I'm not sure if they gave you the backup, but I did send them a backup, and I have two copies here if you guys need to see.
Yeah, if you could.
I only made two copies, so you may want to share, but there's a couple of emails. There's a couple of emails back and forth. We basically had it to a point where we're almost completed, and there was the issue about having a retaining wall that was 17 feet high. And during the process, you guys asked us to do a couple of different options, which we did, and in addition to that, we did some studies about drainage and how the water was going to flow through the site. And then we got to the conclusion to go ahead and do only 3 feet down with the berm.
So that's what we're doing, a berm for the bleachers on
correct.
The side.
And all that is already done. But just during that process, we did spend some time doing it back and forth. So we did mention that it was going to be about that amount during the meeting.
I figured it would have already been done. I'm kind of glad that we...
We just...
Good job of looking into the minutes, because otherwise we'd be liable for it.
It's already done. We just want to come back and get compensated.
There. Well, we thought you were just giving us a gift.
Again?
That was a free service.
We have done quite a bit.
It's like a job description.
Our consultants don't feel the same.
I have a copy of the meeting minutes from that meeting, February 25th, if you all are interested in looking at them.
Can you read them?
Sure. It says, a discussion and possible action regarding the grading and elevation of the southern portion of the pre-K-8 property, football field. No action taken.
Because we wanted to see it. It was never brought
that's
back up.
Right.
And we couldn't
that's
visualize
right.
it.
That's, right.
That's why we ended up going and doing a site visit. And it was never brought back up.
That's right.
So, there you go.
That's true.
And we were
thank you. Is there any true. Other questions?
I have one other question. What did you base your fee on?
We, during the meeting, it was asked how much it was going to cost in terms of the effort. We mentioned it's going to be about 10 grand, and we figure out that's how much it's going to take.
Mr. Padilla, did the minutes reflect that number?
No, ma'am, they do not. The only minutes that I have in front of me are the ones meeting minutes, county chairman, a school district, special meeting, the board of trustees, and it just says at the bottom, no action taken. That's all that it says.
Oh. Do we have to fall in?
No.
Competitive bids in this one?
No, because it's we've already provided
the change order.
Yeah.
Is this you're basically bringing us a change order?
Yes, sir.
Because it's instead of doing this big giant hill, which I can't believe it was even proposed, we decided to flatten it out in preparation for a softball game.
It is a change order request, and this was provided to us probably 2 weeks ago, I believe, 2 or 3 weeks ago, to my email, and that's how it's been brought to you all now.
Yes. Basically, during the process, the board mentioned to go ahead and proceed with the redesign. That's all we got to do.
Mr. Padilla, is the fee commensurate with the other fees we paid? If it was 5% on a whole school, I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't have those percentages in front of me now, but I can get that for you if you'd like. I can tell you what percentage that fee is based on the overall fee of the architect. What I can tell you from experience is that a $10,000 change order to adjust the grades And I would, correct me if I'm mistaken, but it's not only the grades, but it's also utility work and a lot of other trades involved with making these changes.
That's one thing, and the other thing was we made four different options, and we did four different studies for them, for you guys to make sure we got the correct design.
To answer your question, Mrs. Searles, I can definitely provide you with a comparison percentage as to their overall fee and the fee that is proposed here, so we can see kind of compare.
What I'm hearing, it was a little tougher job than just smooth the sand around.
Yes,
and so do you feel that it's commensurate?
I do feel that the fee that is charged, in my opinion, is fair.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, then you don't need to do that.
Okay,
that was
okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? There no, can I get a motion?
I move to. Let's go ahead and approve the additional architectural services in the amount of $10,000. Change order.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Hearing no discussion. Connie, can you pull the board?
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Thank you. You want these back?
Okay. Take us to the next item. Item 3B, discussion and possible action regarding project development agreement with Johnson Controls.
This project development agreement is between Johnson Controls and the Conestoga Independent School District for the sum not to exceed $50,000. And Johnson Controls has come to town to explain to answer any questions you may have regarding this proposal. I had some questions before this meeting today to ask the gentleman, and I got those answered, and I'm confident with the response that they provided with me. That's just my feedback. So if you have any questions, please let us know.
Does the board have any questions?
I guess just clarify what the project development agreement is.
Brief up on that real quick.
Project development agreement for phase three, as I call it, phase three, with K-12 of the Reyes School.
Yes.
To provide the scope that's within the project development agreement, which is the four-pipe system, the electrical, the lighting piece, the locking system that we discussed. What else is in there?
Security.
Security, right. Building automation as well.
So this is basically to develop a plan.
Well, yes, exactly. And what exactly this is for is to just that. The MEP is already provided. We hope to, after this is to be approved, to provide some that information. We need to take that as discussed with Mr. Padilla in order to enhance if there's any lead requirements that we can enhance it to. So that's why it became, as we discussed, a little difficult trying to earmark what that was going to cost, because we didn't know what it was, not seeing the plans ahead of time. We did get an advanced copy, but it wasn't a complete set as far as what it was percentage-wise. We have a good idea, that's how we're going to approach this. And then, as discussed, we're going to keep it as transparent as possible in order to provide that back to Mr. Padilla and his staff as to where we're at as we put this, if there is any more lead points that can be had, any more enhancements that we can provide pursuant to our engineering, as we call it, design assist to the project.
As far as needing to start this project now, considering you're in the midst of 12 million in phase two, is that correct?
No, this is, phase two.
Phase two is currently ongoing with you?
Yes, sir.
With your,
this is for the, I'm sorry?
The current phase two of $12 million is currently in process.
Yes.
My question is, do we need to really move on this at this time in order to start looking at pre-K-8? And furthermore, and I guess it's a two-part question, so do we need to do this now?
The critical path is financing. As we speak, interest rates are going up. And what we're doing, we're taking part of the BMAC scope and that's what's in here, mm-hmm. in order to provide funding for shortfall. Mm-hmm. So one piece is going to be for the interest rates because they're going up, and that's most critical. And then they're going to be, I guess, breaking ground here very soon. So we need to be interacting with them pursuant to getting engaged with them, mm-hmm. getting our engineers on the ground to be able to take a look at the plans that are already in place.
And I guess the follow-up would be to Mr. Villa. How far along are we on construction documents with the school?
The construction documents that were submitted to us were supposedly had been called 95% sets. However, they are not 95% sets. We estimate they're about 85 to 90% completed. So there is still work to be done on them. We are anticipating a package of certain drawings to be submitted by the end of next week. That would include the site work, the building pad, and some other key elements that are being constructed on as we speak. So those are going to be pushed out. The rest, the balance of the drawings are anticipated within the next month. And that's where we are with those drawings. And to answer your question with Johnson Controls, it is critical that we have Johnson Controls take a look at these documents as soon as possible because the design is ongoing as we speak, and any changes that they recommend that they make need to be included in those documents so that there is no confusion in the future, which, as you know, we've had some problems.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's why I don't want to lay more confusion on top of this, and that's why I go down this path. I think at the last facilities committee meeting, we had an issue of the numbers that we've been getting here at the board were incorrect, and you brought that to us, and we kind of tasked you with coming back with what was originally presented, the adjusted, which we understood they were under budget. But at this time, I don't feel comfortable approving any sort of monies until we have a full grasp of what we're looking at, because we're currently in process with you at the $12 million. I think Ms. Gonzalez, I don't mean to bring you in on this, she was very, hesitant on even saying yes to that, but it was a lot of money. And to have more money in play at this point, I feel very uncomfortable kind of moving in that direction. I don't know if I'm alone here.
What the process would be before we were to approve anything, if we were to approve money, and it still has to come just to start the process. Once, let's say, we could even say, okay, you know what, that's not going to be financed, we're able to find the money. But we do know that we're over designed and under budget. And so what we need to look at is that gap. So if we wanted to say, you know what, not four, we could do $2 million to close that gap, or we could do, if we find other financing at least to get that project. Those are the options, but for us to start the process, am I correct within that?
Well, I guess that's not what was handed to us, because the project development agreement with JCI financing option, I mean, it's talking $4 million, another million. So, I mean, if you can clarify this, because it's not just to start or to even explore, this is to basically go out for financing, am I correct?
The process, this is, as you say, this is just the design portion of the process. And what will happen is we will go out and take a look at the engineering plans, do the design, come back, look, bring a budget back. We'll also bring back potential savings that can be realized. The next step would be for the board to actually approve the contract as was done with phase two. And so at this point, the board is not approving actual contract to move forward with construction of the project. The only thing that is being approved tonight is for us to look at under this agreement, take the design, calculate savings potentials, based upon different scenarios, and to do to the design assist as we've discussed, and then bring that back to the board for presentation, and then the board can make has another decision point going forward whether to move forward with that contract or not.
And we said to not go forward. What sort of cost are we incurring at this point?
The cost, and that's what the PDA basically establishes. It is kind of the rate of and the amount that's shown in the PDA is not to exceed $50,000. And that was one of the discussions that we had with Mr. Padilla is, because not having seen all the plans, we've kind of had to put a dollar figure out there. Our discussion with him earlier tonight is that we will bring a budget back to him, breaking down what the actual cost not to exceed that $50,000. We're not looking to charge the district for any more than what we're able to enhance. Because again, the MEP has a design. We're going to look at that to see if we can approve on that. If we can, and there does require additional engineering, possibly that we incur cost on that. And so the breakup fee at this point would be not to exceed the $50,000.
Can you talk a little bit about the way the ESCO works, the law?
The way that
so they have to show their savings first if there's any financing.
Yeah, the law clearly states under Texas Education Code Section 44901 that a project delivered through a performance savings contract has to have guaranteed savings in it. In this case, what we're looking at is that we're looking at modeling, because you have basically a building that's being designed. You have to establish a baseline with which to calculate the savings from. In this case, the baseline would be a basic design of what would be required by the El Paso Building Code. The four-pipe system, the controls, the high-efficiency lighting provide savings that Johnson Controls will calculate, will guarantee that those savings are realized, and will allow the district then to seek third-party financing to make up for the shortfall. And so it really is, under the code, it is a way to procure and a way to finance facility improvements pursuant to 44901.
Any other? Yeah, and this is back to Mr. Padilla. We have yet to finish the construction documents on it, and I believe we haven't had we were supposed to have, which was a glass meeting. This building is completely made out of glass, I think, in certain areas. The glass walls, glass structure, glass everywhere, which we were supposed to call back on a lot of these designs, which we didn't have an opportunity to do so. So I'm wondering, again, if you're going to develop a plan, shouldn't it be on the final construction document?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, yeah. Yes, sir. And so you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the decision, the glass decision is a big decision, because, again, that is thermal load.
Yeah, exactly.
As you know, yeah. I mean, we all know. There's thermal load associated with it, so if there's a change, then it perhaps changes the tonnages of the compressors, and probably not. It's going to have a bit significant, but it could.
We're in the desert,
you never know. But yes, I mean that is part of the issue is where is the design? What level is that? Are there additional decisions? And we've had discussions with VMAC. We've been there in a lot of discussions with VMAC regarding this. And so, yes, there are some things that need to be looked at, decisions that need to be made before we actually start our design assist process.
And what I can tell you about that process, Mr. Medina, is that VMAC is hustling to get the baseline budget completed for the drawings that have been completed so far. That 95% set of drawings that are there need to be established in order for us to then go for what we're going to call a cost-reducing effort. We're not calling it value engineering because we're not adding any value. We're going to be cutting things away from the project. So
you
once
just made your Cyril's happy with it.
Yes, exactly. Yes, ma'am. So what we need to have is the baseline of what the budget is currently, and that should be wrapped up by the 15th of August. And then after that point, then we already have a list of items generated that we are going to be recommending to the board to cost cut. All we need to do is plug numbers into those items in order to present to you, say, this is how much we're going to save cutting the glass, this is how much we're going to save cutting this, that. And the glass is already included in that. The thought of having the glass meeting, we thought amongst ourselves, and we should have communicated a little better to you, that we are definitely going to be recommending that to you already. We're putting a dollar amount to it as we speak, because we need to cut costs significantly with this. And that glass, there's a good chunk of change there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's unfortunate that our architect scuttled away. I don't see him here anymore. It's a call. But Hugo would be the perfect one to discuss this with, because I think we've been very adamant that we want to provide a school, not sort of a museum piece. We're here to educate kids and provide value to our taxpayers. And these glass structures that we continue to build, just sometimes it just makes no sense.
I would agree with the architect that it is a beautiful building the way it sits right now, but unfortunately we don't have the funds to fuel that. So with the help of Johnson Controls, in order to provide some financing possibly in the future. That'll help us being able to construct the facility, minimize with this cost reduction exercise after that, after that's been completed. So,
are we going to miss any interest savings, rate savings? I mean,
how much? What we're trying to do is lock in an interest rate with our third party financing. Rates are, as you know, kind of volatile right now. With, you know, as the economy improves, rates tend to are starting to improve as well, or not improve, but go up, rise. And so, you know, what we're trying to do is to at least lock, obtain third party financing, a term sheet that we would bring back to you. Again, it is a non-binding term sheet on the district. It simply states that, you know, the third party lender will lend, you know, up to this amount of dollars at this fixed interest rate over this term. And so it does provide the district with some a locked in rate. It does not obligate the district to take those funds or move forward with that financing. It just simply establishes the terms that could be delivered to the district. And we typically lock at anywhere from 30 to 60 days. Usually it's locked 30 days with the opportunity to extend it 30 days if necessary.
And that allows you to look at the construction documents, come up with your plan,
exactly,
and put costs to it, and then essentially go back with those assured rates, essentially.
That's correct. That's correct. Sure.
I did, one of the things that I major concern, and I brought it up a year ago, and I hope that the way the model works when it's the construction manager, the architect, and the district, that they're all at the table. So if we're having a meeting with the board, that those individuals are at the table, and whenever you're meeting, making sure that everybody's on board. I've seen where, you know, in the past it was just the architect, and then it was just the construction manager at risk. And so we need to make sure that we utilize the model as most to be more efficient, and to make sure that we don't wait for it to tell in and having to deal with the issue.
Yes, sir, you got it. I'll make sure that I follow up with each person, making sure that they stay for the duration of any topic. This topic wasn't specifically for CDA, but it would have been helpful to have them here for it. I agree with
you. Oh, yeah. I mean, why would they have here?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Charles?
Yes, I have a couple of questions. In this plan that you would like to make for us, is an estimate, it's going to be your plan for your controls, your air conditioner, your stuff, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And so do you give an estimate in the plan of what all this is going to cost?
That's what we're getting. That's what this allows us to do, to go build that plan.
Okay, so it's plan plus cost to put the plan into
right.
action,
right? Yes, ma'am. Sure.
And is the plan inclusive of everything, all the controls?
The scope is defined in the PDA, and the scope that we defined there was to, as Joel mentioned earlier, was to, you know, deliver the four-pipe tool system, to deliver the building automation system to provide the efficiency as designed into the lead, the drawings. I mean, the drawings of today have had those elements designed into them. We would provide, look at providing the high-efficiency LED lighting. The district chooses not to go that way, then that wouldn't happen, obviously.
Can you give both scenarios with giving it?
Yes, ma'am.
Plan A, plan B.
And again, within that, it shows the cost savings.
Good. Okay.
Because it's going to show if this is what it's spec'd at, if you do LED lighting, let's say, there's a savings here. And then when it's turned to fly.
I think it was important what this gentleman just said is that what was spec'd at, what was specified, that's important. We've already paid once for mechanical engineers to already design the facility that we currently have, and to go out again and pay an additional associate to then redesign it again. My concern is I want to see real savings in addition to what was not just the baseline, because the baseline is very simple. And in addition to that, this project is trying to attain LEED Silver certification. So the HVAC systems that are designed are already well past what baseline would be to entertain.
What you just said brought to my mind, I believe that the board should have approved, and this is not on your back yet, you weren't here, should have approved the educational specifications for the new school, and we never did. It's never been presented to us. We've never seen it from Carl Daniel. And I think that in the scope of things, we not only are supposed to see it, we're to approve it as a board. So if you could ask him if he can provide those educational specifications that he approved.
Yes, ma'am, and I have asked of the architect to provide those to us. In addition to another request from Dr. Dalavis was where we were and how we got to where we are with regard to design. And unfortunately, that question has been a lot more political than I would have liked. So to pinpoint exactly who has directed it to become what it is now, it's not very easy to answer. But I am working, and the architect is working. Providing a list of where we were baseline to where we are now. So at a minimum, unfortunately, I've had a lot of pushback on who was it that directed what.
Got a lot of finger pointing.
Yes, ma'am.
It happens.
But I am working on that.
And he does, I hope, understand, because I made it so clear from the day we gave our first breath to him, he must bring the job in on the budget. So I
excuse me, brand new technology that we were introducing and that we just got attended a webinar. And it's security cameras inside the LED lighting, exterior lighting, that we'd like to come back to the committee, to the Facilities and Finance Committee, to present that to them, to show them the technology, that that's something we are ready to utilize. And one of the first school districts in the state of Texas will have this brand new technology. We're also going to provide the pricing for both, just so you would see with cameras, LED lighting on exterior lighting throughout the school district, or throughout this particular school. And we asked the Spadea and the board to allow us to bring that back, Dr. Galdis, to be able to show that technology to the board. It's unbelievable. The clarity, the night, especially at night, that's typically where everything, when something happens, it'll be at night. The clarity from these cameras are unbelievable. So we'd like to share that technology with TOIC and the board.
To committee.
We would love to bring it to committee, yes, sir.
This month's committee?
If at all possible.
I don't think the technology is in question. I think the timing of this right now is more than anything.
Okay. Tony, can you pull the board?
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Can you start from Benjamin? No. No.
Mr. Medina?
No.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay, I'll take this to next time.
Item C, discussion and possible action to reconsider TASB proposal for bond oversight. Mrs. Searles and Mr. Padilla.
I brought this back to us. We looked at this a year ago. And we are like in some dire straits, as each and every one of us know, as evidenced by this $50,000 we just had to approve to redo something that has probably already been done. And I would like for us to take a second look at TASB's facility program management fee proposal. There, when you look at their proposal, they are not going to charge us anything unless equivalent savings, reductions, or avoidances are provided. So essentially, they're going to come in and do this for free. And if they find the savings, if they find what has gone wrong, I guess based on, it's not going to be this amount that we've got in here because we're further along than this was a year ago's fees. But whatever there, it's going to be significantly less, I feel very sure. And I also believe that they will let us have like a menu of what they can do for us at this point, because our construction documents are not finalized, which is a major plus. And they are not going to charge us unless they find, right here it says equivalent savings, reductions, or avoidances. And I think that I would feel so very secure saying yes to a group who has got an incredible amount of experience and successful experience to come in and help guide us right now, because we are floundering. And so I bring it back to you, thinking that the sooner we could possibly do this, the better. And I see in here in their old one, they've got the geotechnical engineering included in this one. Now I know we have someone else who's dealing with that, so that one wouldn't even be on the list. I leave that with, you know, I think we're at a point where if we don't get some help, it's going to be worse than it is right now.
What I want to ask, Dominic, is just looking at where we're at, just what, how many weeks have we got there? Where are you at, and where do you see whether it's needed help or what is it better?
I did have the opportunity to review the TASB proposal, and I didn't have the understanding that it was going to be a fee based on if they brought savings to. I didn't see that. I just saw $369,000, and I was a little shocked by that.
Do you see the...
What page are you on?
It would be the second page of their letter, and it's the second paragraph, the last sentence.
Okay.
You see that?
Yes, ma'am, I do. With what is here, I have I had the opportunity to review each line item that was presented in the proposal, and I've marked through each item that is already completed or is way further along than what is needed. So if we were to go forward with receiving a proposal from CASB, I believe it would need to be updated to really reflect what is needed. However, in what is left of the scope of work to be completed, the design is completed. The costs, we understand where we are, and we understand that we need to go through a cost-cutting exercise in order to get costs back down within budget. Hopefully, we can do that. So that big, huge elephant that we try to accomplish is accomplished and has been done. So I've marked through most of the things that are listed on page one. If you go down to page three, there's a line item there, CASB and Sledge Engineering Scope. And I did have the opportunity to review each one of these bullet items here, and I did note that each one of these items is covered currently under the Construction Manager at Risk, BMAC, and or the Bond Manager for the Cotina Penna School District. So these items are already covered with what we already do and will be assigning in the future. So this is kind of some of the stuff that is already being done. So to have a CASB redo their proposal to maybe exclude some of these items and come up with a different number would be acceptable to me, and ultimately up to you, of course. And what I'm really wanting to sum here is that the County Independent School District is floundering with what we have available for our resources. It is currently me as the Executive Director of Facilities and Transportation is trying to manage the facilities, the transportation, and the bond, which is a lot to ask. But there's also a bond manager that we've hired, and he's doing the best that he can with all the information that he's got. What we are desperately needing is someone out in the field as a field superintendent in order to make sure that what's happening exactly, and what is happening out in the field is happening according to the contract specifications, the drawings, and the specs. So. My recommendation for what I would like to propose would be having someone on a more long-term basis to have someone hired by the County Independent School District as a team engineer to be on our projects, to understand our systems, to create and develop our team together, not just have someone on a temporary basis that will leave us and leave all the knowledge and experience that they have, but to have someone in the field that would learn and grow with us as a team.
I agree with you. In a perfect world, that's a great solution, and that would be wonderful to have. But what I'm worried about is this, that position would then become watered down, as has been the bond project manager's position. That poor guy is stretched, right?
Yes,
ma'am. He's been doing all kinds of work that he was truly never tasked with doing. If indeed we got this group to come in, get us through this hump, maybe they only need to be here. Whatever it is, we're not paying it, unless they find us savings. Get us over this hump, get us through the hard time, this valley we're going through. When we get up to the mountain, things are looking squared away and good, then possibly we begin to budget and create that position, because I agree with you, yes, that would be the perfect scenario. But I feel like there's an emergency situation we're in right now, and we need emergency help. These people, I know they weren't here, but they came to us several times with several different options, proposals, and they understand what we're doing. I don't see like a learning curve that we would have to bring them up to speed. I think they could step in, possibly spend 6 months here, step out, and then in the coming budget year, we can begin to look at and create a position like you're talking at, if the board felt that way.
With the line item there, the second page, the last sentence of the second paragraph, I would agree that as it states here, as a results pledge engineering will not collect any fees unless equivalent savings reductions or avoidances are provided. And with that now known, that $369,000 is a lot more toned down.
And also with all the scratches you went through, we're a lot further along
right
than we were to be.
Yes, ma'am. And what I would hope to get from this TASB in the person would be that they are our eyes and ears out in the field as we're trying to manage the finances, or vice versa, exactly.
I would say that. Awesome.
Yes, ma'am. I would agree with that.
I mean, I think what we would need to do is also look at a cost benefit analysis, because if that's the issue, they might charge us $100,000 instead of looking at possibly a long term solution. I think we still need to look at it. Because they might just have somebody come down for a week or so and charge us that amount instead of having somebody on.
They'll give us a scope of work, and I know that we discussed with them, come once a week, come once a month. There was, do you remember that, Adrian? It was
yes.
At the CBAC meetings as well. There was a schedule, and it's pretty pick and choose. What I'd like to do is just authorize Mr. Padilla to contact these people again, see if they stand behind, not willing to collect any fees unless the savings reductions or avoidances are provided. And as well ask them, you know, can you kind of put us together a menu, let us pick what we feel is appropriate. Tell us also, based on where we are, what is appropriate. I don't think they're shady people, I don't think they're shysters, I think they're pretty upfront people. I think they're very upfront, actually. And maybe come back to the next committee meeting and give us a breakdown. And TASB people don't have to come. I'm sure you can give us a review of
it. I would agree with you that another proposal is needed in order to verify exactly what they're going to be providing, because right now I don't know what exactly they're going to do, although I've scratched out most of the things they were going to do in the past. So to get a revised proposal from them would be very helpful. We could pick and choose, and then the only drawback, the benefit would be that these people are very knowledgeable and very experienced in what this is, so they could definitely help. The drawback is that once they're gone, they take all that knowledge and experience away from the district. They're
You'll have it.
What's that?
You will have it.
All right.
Will have been imparted to you.
Yeah, well, yes.
It will be enriched. But when I read this too, if you'll read September 21st, 2012, we stand ready to begin work immediately and help to get the pre-K campus project back on track. We were in trouble then.
I do want to the chair. You said something that kind of stuck out. It says that most of the bullet items are something that our CMR should be handling. But yet, we're at the position where we're discovering things. So is our CMR doing their job?
Our CMR is doing a good job at what they've been tasked to do as a construction manager at risk, yes. They VMAC is completing the what is called for in the construction manager at risk agreement, and they are going above and beyond what is required. Yes, I would say that.
But by your own admission, that there's some problems that keep coming up.
What I was referencing to in the proposal here were bullet items that that our CMR is currently completing and that they are doing along with our bond manager. So my statement regarding the bullet items that are completed is that our CMR is doing that.
You think our CMR would have caught the Johnson Controls issue last year?
The Johnson Controls
issue? The fact that we didn't have any phase three, to use the words from Johnson Controls, in place, because we just spent $50,000. Had we known about that time, probably got out of a better rate at the time. I go back to the question, are they looking out for our district?
Yes, they are, and I do believe that they are, and I do have a letter from VMAC stating, for example, Johnson Controls, that they do support that. Unfortunately, that was not, it didn't make it to the packet that you have in front of you, but I've got it here if you need it. But the CMR construction manager risk is doing exactly what we have asked them to do, and I do know that they are going above and beyond what they have. Regarding Johnson Controls, again, that Johnson Controls agreement, we've already paid a mechanical engineer to design the systems within our facilities. So to have another company, Johnson Controls, come in and redesign the system is a bit of a duplicate effort. But however, that is the first issue. The second issue would be the financing aspect of that agreement. So to answer your question, yes, Johnson Controls should have been included on the very initial stages of designing this project, but it's we're at a point now where
I feel you. I just need to have that discussion. I need to have everybody kind of we walk through it.
And we also had that discussion a while back as to as a matter of fact, if you all recall, we were telling the previous individual, hey, is Johnson Controls being involved within the pre-K? And Lori, I remember you questioning several times, and then we'll find out.
The main reason being so that we had uniformity across the district and everything. And everybody knew how to use everything, our maintenance people could do everything.
Consistency across the
district. I have another observation here. I'm looking at their bullet list of projects. There's 15 of them. When I read through them, we still have lack of design plan and specification review, lack of budget control, hidden cost of the project, lack of communication between design team and CMR. The project schedule plans at 70% completion, but several issues remain unresolved. When they were 30%, they're still unresolved at 90%. Design needs to be fitting within our budget parameters. Major HVAC design issues remain unsolved with plans at 70% complete. We could have, had we moved at that time, to hire these people, not been sitting here tonight talking about $50,000 to review our HVAC and be further along. I see this other one, lack of management of furniture, fixtures, and equipment. We've got issues with that too. I know that the millwork is huge in the new school, and I think that addresses that. So,
can we give direction to provide that, see what they're able to propose, and then do a cost-benefit of analysis of what is actually needed, and then we could see what decision that the district wants to go within whatever.
Mr. Chair, I then would move for Mr. Padilla to contact TASB for a proposal, somewhat like the one we've seen here from a year ago, and bring it back to the Facilities and Finance Committee meeting, which I believe will be the 19th of August.
21st.
Is it the 19th?
21st
of August.
I would second that.
Can you also add to your amendment, or can you amend it to and doing the cost-benefit analysis?
Sure, And I meant it to do the cost-benefit analysis on the proposed plan, and also to make sure that they write in that, that good
caveat there.
Yeah, no fee unless we find the savings. I'll amend my motion to
Amend my second.
Have a motion and a second. There's no discussion. Tony, can you please vote?
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strong?
Yes.
Next item.
Item E, discussion and possible action regarding memorandum of understanding with Anthony Police Department. Ms. Carrasco.
Good evening, Board President Rodriguez, board members, and Dr. Galavis. I bring before you Mr. Gonzalez is out attending a conference today. So I'm presenting on his behalf. I believe he had attended a couple of the committee meetings in which he presented the interlocal agreement with the Anthony Police Department. And I believe the discussion was to one SRO or one police officer to be stationed at the high school. And the interlocal agreement that is being presented to you was vetted through Steve Blanco. And the total cost for this memorandum of understanding for the SRO is at $36,482.37. Again, I think this is a discussion that was had before, and so I'm just bringing that forward. One of the discussions also, as Mike has been developing the security department within our district, is as the expenses have started coming up, just like this one, and again, as we've been having these discussions, the issue has been funding. I know that some of the things that I used from my HR budget to help him, I believe he requested a bicycle from one of the police officers, and I said, I'll get it from my budget. But there's been things, security guards, and now this memorandum for those $36,000 that are not budgeted for. So I have Ms. Aguirre here so that we can see where can we get the money for this.
Good evening. As you may recall, when we adopted the budget with excess revenues of about $630,000 over expenditures. The directive was that we were to bring back, administration was to bring back options of initiatives, projects, or needs that would be budgeted out of the excess funds. And so having not budgeted for the security services that have been adopted by the board for this school year, the request is that if you would consider allocating some of the unbudgeted or unallocated funds for this initiative. The finance committee, I will be bringing to you all the other options as we've been discussing with principals and cabinet. However, being that this is a we're moving forward with this agreement. We need to consider how we will be funding. And so I'm bringing forward that if this is approved, we need to go ahead and allocate some funds for this project out of those unallocated funds.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Yes.
Mr. Kinnick, it seems as though I can remember Mr. Gonzalez telling us we had to get like $200,000 or $220,000 for security.
The $200,000 that we currently have, they're out of the 2006 bonds, and those are for security cameras. Okay. Now, if the board wishes to redirect that to other security-related projects, the board may do so. However, right now, they are earmarked for security cameras.
So we could theoretically do a budget amendment?
Well,
or a bond?
I need to go back a little. It's bond funds, so there would have to be building improvements and updates, not necessarily a salary or a professional service. So not for this purpose.
I remember that the intent is to build, and Dr. Galavis, I know that Mike took Dr. Galavis to Isleta ISD, and I think maybe one of the other board members, Mr. Maronado, visited and have looked at the facility and kind of the project or the room, the way they want it set up. you know, and that would, is what they're planning to use the $200,000 for, yes.
So we need to come up with something else.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Can we use that part of the PES, one of the PES?
The $36,000?
That was just one right now, right?
Yes.
One person that we're adding?
This is, well, I will be bringing to the committee the approval for one, this is the contract services, and I believe...
Is this contract?
This is contract services. And so the other one that we're talking about is the fourth security guard as a district employee, and that one will be coming from the PES. Because this, my understanding is this is a commissioned police officer.
That's correct.
So, and the other one is a security guard, just like the other three security guards that we have working in the district.
Mr. Chair, I had asked that Mr. Gonzalez would bring us that, like, an efficiency chart of, and I have not seen it, we have not received it that I know of. You know, who do we have, what did they do, what did they cover, and what did they cost? Like, probably over a month, maybe 3 or 4 weeks.
I can go ahead and provide you with that. I mean, we have three security guards at the high school right now, and then we have the one roving night security. So currently we have four employees.
You're also looking at the job description as well as, are you talking as well as a cost benefit analysis of what we're adding?
No, I really not into this, but I have not seen. Let Ms. Mendoza say it was something for.
Well, I had asked similar questions, and Mr. Gonzalez is in charge of this.
Yes,
correct?
Yes, he is.
And he is designing a plan,
yes,
so that it runs efficiently, so that we rotate security guards at different times, but we haven't seen anything to that effect.
And that's correct. And in order to do that rotation, he was needing that extra one, the extra security guard for the evening rotations also, and then the commissioned police officer at the high school. And so that way he can start, because right now if he brings over anybody from the high, you know, he's taking staff from the high school to be able to do any formal type of rotation. So I will go ahead and provide you, I can provide you the information as far as I have with the security guards that we currently have.
Well, I would like to see what he's doing with what he has right now.
Okay.
Because he should already be working on something. Getting on his way.
Okay. So, will we get that?
I will inform him. He will be back tomorrow. And I will inform them to go ahead and put something together.
On this memorandum of understanding, do we look at the other entities or we just want to look at them?
I know he presented to the board the various options.
Anybody in the committee?
Mr. Coronado, do you remember his exact presentation?
From
Mike Gonzalez on the options for the security?
Yes.
Because I don't know what other, I know that he had looked at El Paso PD and other, the Sheriff's Department. I know that he had done that research. I wouldn't be able to talk to you about the specifics of it. And I know that his recommendation was the arrangement that he had, or that he came up with Anthony. Because of the proximity and that they were willing to provide us with a commissioned officer.
Does he come with a suit and a gun and a car?
Yes. Well, I don't know about the car.
No,
yes,
Mr. Chair,
EPISD had agreed, or rather had given us information when we toured their facility that they would be willing to lend us an officer as well, but Anthony obviously is isn't better.
Because of the proximity, and,
yes,
and I think they're able to do.
Have we looked at both? What's the difference? What's the cost?
Yeah. I don't have that information. I'm sure he presented that because I know he's done several presentations on the security.
And I don't recall what EPI has been their charges. But they told us that they wouldn't. It would just be a direct, exact amount what they paid. Mm-hmm.
I think it was like $56,000.
I don't recall the amount.
It was a lot more than this.
Yes, it's probably considerably more than this.
I know he thought the price on this was fairly reasonable for a commissioned police officer.
And it's a sturdy one?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, down the road, we may want to consider doing like what Isleta did. They don't have a full-fledged police department, but they are considered a police department.
I don't know if any of y'all knew that, but
they are considered a police department. The head is actually certified, which is, forget his name, but head of the chief of the of the Isleta district, because we toured their facility. He told us, yes, no, we're certified as a police department. We just are not, we don't have the full-fledged. Their concentration is more on the surveillance. And
when we went down there, Mr. Coronado, maybe you can provide us some input, but Mike did take Dr. Galaviz for a tour of that facility, and I can tell you that it is extremely impressive. And I know that the personnel there at Isleta did offer their assistance. They were willing to come down, look at our facility, recommend a room to build this room that we need for surveillance. They offered us the resources to come out and assist us if we ever really need it.
I don't know that at this point we need the entire facets of what they have out there, but I can see us growing into it. And choosing that model rather than the EPISD model, clearly, because I think EPISD clearly spend quite a lot more money on their the way they set things up. But I think you get more out of the surveillance the way that Isleta had set it up. And they do have police officers that are out there, but not the majority of the people they have are security guards and then the monitors.
And that was what the $200,000 that Mr. Olsby referenced to, that Mike wanted to use that to start designating an area here in the central office building, and at least for this year, to start some components of having that surveillance room, and then I guess with the one additional employee that we were looking at hiring possibly. And then memorandum of understanding or arrangement with Anthony ISD is to better assist kind of the Ojai School.
Down the road, once we're able to fully implement the surveillance, we have to employ, there has to be two monitors on duty all the time. But what saved us though is the, because then we can actually monitor the intrusion and the fire alarms, and then we wouldn't have to, we could do it ourselves in-house with those monitors, that they could monitor not just the cameras and the security, but the fire alarms and the intrusion alarms, and then we wouldn't have to pay, is it Sonatrol? And I don't know how much we pay Sonatrol every year.
It's a fund.
For the fire and the intrusion, we might want to take a look at that and see how soon we may want to go to that, doing our own surveillance, would we be able to save on that?
The money we save on that
could go towards paying the people we need to hire. Exactly.
And the purpose this year is to grow that department, and that's why we all agreed for Mike to take over that area to start growing it. And so this is the direction that we're starting to move or to inch toward, so that by the end of this school year, we can come back and report these are the significant improvements that we've done, and that we're moving towards growing that full-fledged surveillance department.
This memorandum of understanding the arbitrary
sooner rather than later.
I move on to...
Ms. Norton. No, I'm here. Well, that's what I mean.
I move to approve the memorandum of understanding of Manatee Police Department and for Ms. Aguirre to find the money to fund it.
And I'll second that. And it's only for one, correct?
For one, for one officer, for 1 year.
And the amount
to be evaluated, I'm sure, by
some
evaluates and reports back to the board.
And the amount is $36,482.37.
Yes.
And I have a comment. It says also here, no fringe benefits, no patrol unit. So
on page 2 of the memorandum of understanding under salary and benefits, it says all salary and benefits of the SRO shall be paid by the town. The school district shall have no obligation for any direct payments of salary or providing any benefits to the SRO. The school district shall pay the town of Anthony, and it has that amount, the $36,482. So that is our obligation for the service.
It does say, number 5, that we will not... The district shall not be obligated to provide the SRO with a vehicle.
Right. So we are responsible for providing the vehicle.
No.
We're not.
Okay.
But how?
Is he going to move around?
How does he look?
The vehicle.
He's
going to
buy it.
How
does he
watch the mic?
According to the mic,
okay.
SRO. Mr. What's up?
Okay.
And on Thursday, we're meeting with Chief Enrique and Sergeant Slatta to our facility. Some ideas.
Any other questions?
Yes.
No? There's a motion on the floor, right? And a second?
Do you want me to wait for Mr. Medina or not? Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina? Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes. Is it possible, too, that the grant writing department person, people, whatever, look into security grants for this, which I think are really probable, a federal grant? In fact, I'd almost say for sure they have.
Good idea.
Thank you.
Can you take that to
next item? Item F, discussion and possible action regarding budget amendment. Mrs. Aguirre.
Thank you. In your board packet, you received a request for approval for a budget transfer that would be crossing funds and functions, and this is in relates to the designation of fund balance out of debt service to pay for some of our debt service payments. And so we're basically taking it out of the fund balance and into the debt service fund.
Is there any questions?
I move to approve the budget amendment.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. There's no discussion.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Discussion and possible action regarding purchase of college level textbooks for Northwest ECH. Mr. Gatlin, Ms. Savina.
Mr. Gatlin had a family emergency. I will be filling in for him. Basically, during the July board meeting, the board requested to get additional information regarding the textbooks that were being requested from Northwest Early College for the UTEP and UTCC classes. They did provide a listing of the different textbooks that they currently use. They are requesting $27,000, which would cover their yearly requirement for textbooks. It is important to note, if you'll notice, the listing that they provided was for $61,000. I asked Ms. Salvina for some clarification, and she indicated that the reason it's a larger amount is because they currently already have some of these textbooks. And so they provided the listing of all that they use. However, they are not going to have to buy everything that is on that list.
And the only individual that we could purchase it is through Barnes & Noble. There's not, there's the other, like, UTEP.
We did ask for some clarification on that. I don't have.
And then there's like CBA textbooks.
Right. I don't know. I couldn't answer that question. I would imagine so, but I don't know.
Is there any question? I guess if you could follow up on that. And,
Mr. Chair, we did ask for them to bring us back to see if there were other entities that we could probably get a better price.
Well, right now, Ms. Sabina's at one of our former students passed away. One of our students developed some textbooks. Sabina, she asked me textbooks for kids, that's for kids groups. Family. She didn't give me a description saying they buy in bulk, so that gives a discount. And his name is Jacob Huskin. So she buys in bulk, and what she does is she gives the kids vouchers, and they don't necessarily spend all the $27,000. They have books there. So when a child needs a book, or a professor changes, or a course changes, then they give the child a book so they can have that experience, walk up to the bookstore, and purchase a book voucher.
So then, one thing we're doing that's on campus at.
Yes, sir. And also, they looked at the rental, but need a credit card. So each child would have to take a credit card in order to, for a rental. We talked to Ms. Sabina about looking at the process of maybe using our district credit card. So we could rent books, but again, we're not there yet. And just last year, last year for fall and spring, she spent $48,936 on textbooks, and $27,000 is just put in an account. It's like an account, so it's not all you. So it's just there. If they have the book there, then she gives the child the book. They go up to the bookstore, and if there's a used one, then they purchase them. So again, that's her process.
Yeah, can we look at just, I guess, in comparison, let's say English 1301, right? And it's the same textbook that's being used at UCC and at UTEP or at CBA textbooks to actually say, okay, this is Weber and McGraw edition, whatever. And then just get a price comparison and actually see if we're, if it might be 55 at Barnes and Noble's or at. Maybe if that CBA textbook, it might be 45, and this is for you, not a user. So, how do we know? Look at that. And next year, I know where crunch time is about to start.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. Ms. Sagita, who audits the funds? If she just gets like an account of $27,000, who does the balance and check on that account?
Well, in order for us to actually, the purchase order is created for that amount. In order for us to actually pay out to the vendor, we need to have invoices of itemized, listing of books and quantities. And so that is a verification we do in order to make sure that we pay the vendor only for books ordered. However, as far as the connection between the books and the student classes, we don't have that.
I'm thinking more about the connection of, so you only spent $17,000 on books. You've got $10,000 left in there.
Right.
Who's auditing that $10,000?
Well, we monitor those, their monthly, their budget on a monthly basis. And because it's an allocation that she pulls out of her allocation for her campus, she is at liberty of taking those 10,000 out of textbooks if she doesn't need it and redirect it to instructional supplies or any other need that her campus may have.
So is there any accountability with her funds?
Yes, there is, because if they're, like I said, she's given that as a per capita allocation based on her student enrollment. So it would be like a Camarillo High School having $37,000 in supplies, and he deems it, he makes it for students. So that would be part of her allocation.
So no one audits it, nobody looks at it really. She just gets the money in the purchase orders.
Their purchases are based on their improvement plan, their campus improvement plan. So it has to be tied to that goal and objective as stated on the improvement plan.
Yes, it was thinking.
Martha, do you know if where we're basically we're getting a line of credit at the store, right, for the books? Is there any other availability for those books there besides Barnes?
Well, it is my understanding that there's the bookstore and then that the rental program. However, she's
I bet you the community college has an intro agreement that only.
Barnes and Barnes are books to sell.
Yeah, I was going to say that it's kind of difficult to go out for bid another market in another area if it's a matter of convenience for the students and just get them there. But we could order them online and probably save some more money, but it's going to take
availability. Maybe.
The availability, one, and two, the time it's going to take for them to be shipped to the student or to the school. And how you can, by the time you send the voucher over to the for each one of the books, it becomes a cumbersome issue.
And the issue is, like, UTEP used to have their own bookstore, and now they branched out, and I don't know if it's Folgate or something like that, company that awarded them, got the award.
I can have I can request from Ms. Sabina to give us a brief summary or report that we can provide on the Thursday. She was planning to attend the board meeting to provide responses to some of these questions. However, due to the circumstances with that student, she felt it important to also be with the family and the students. But we can have a report for you by Thursday, if you'd like.
Is there any other questions? Can I get a clarification on the report? Exactly one.
Well, what other avenues, and if so, I have a to know. And talking about that, especially the local students, communities. We have three textbook providers. And
if I understand correctly, please provide other options, if any, and how is it decided to use this particular vendor versus another option? Is that correct?
Yeah, just versus saying that it's part of the cooperative.
And the other issue is, do we have to comply with the bid requirements for per year?
Huh?
The purchase requirements?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, if it's cheaper, then we should look at that process.
Right.
We know the amount of textbooks that are in the world, so.
Okay. Can I get a motion?
Also move.
I have a motion to approve the purchase of college level textbooks from Northwestern College.
I'll second.
I have a motion and second. Hearing no discussion.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Item 4 is executive session, and the time is now 7:39 p.m. The meeting is to be closed for executive session.